This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
I don't marry trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, won't you peep the score? Sports Center E, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good Wednesday morning to you and yours. It is DCR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. March the 24th, 2021. I mean, what a win for the Knicks last night. Well, we will spend a lot of time reflecting on that. Nets with only one of the big three and another win for Brooklyn. And NFL draft is closing in. I mean, there's a lot going on. Baseball's a week away. Let's say good morning to the guys. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm good, Dave. I mean, the way you describe the sports, it almost feels like it's too much. It's overload. We got so much going on.
There's a lot going on. It's a very busy time, but I welcome it.
And on top of that, Dave, I'm knee-deep in wedding planning right now, too. Knee-deep in wedding planning. Like, I think we got the venue nailed down, and we got a ballpark for the day, but we got to decide between wedding planners, the size of the wedding, the size of the wedding party. Like, it's all of this stuff going on, colors of the wedding, like... It's going down, man. It's going down in a real way. It's crazy.
Rick, I don't know if you feel like this, but the more wedding conversation we can have on the show, the better.
The more, the better. If you need any help with a wedding planner, I got a terrific wedding planner. Put all your time and effort into this one, Christopher. I mean, just even if you have to fake it.
Does this wedding planner work in Chicago?
It should work anywhere, really. I
mean, we're doing a Chicago wedding?
We are doing a road game wedding, guys. Well, she's from Chicago. So.
No, I understand. But yeah.
It's actually a smart move. It's actually a smart move. Making people travel, that's a smart move.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a road game.
Because now all of a sudden you don't want to make that commitment. You still got to send the present.
Yeah, exactly. But you also get to find out who really rocks with you by who shows up at the wedding.
That's true.
That's another great point. I mean, you've really thought this thing out. This is what happens.
Not really, Rico. That's just happenstance. Don't give me
like
too much credit, bro.
For you. So when are we thinking with this wedding?
We are thinking July of 2022.
You know what I think, and maybe this is awful and selfish of me, Rick, but my first thought about this wedding July of 2022 is we go out to Chicago.
Check the Cubs schedule.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm already ahead of you guys. I'm trying to debate between the rooftop or whether we're going to get a box in Wrigley Field. Now, of course, that's contingent on the Cubs schedule, and that's a long ways off, but I'm just saying that idea has already been discussed.
It'd be wonderful. See? I got to be honest.
I'm already ahead of you guys.
You are the perfect wedding planner. You might not need to hire a wedding planner. You might be the guy.
I'm
not going
to
say all that. But I promise you guys this. I'm not going to hijack your holiday weekend. I'm a big believer in that. I'm adamant about making sure that you don't take away folks' holiday weekend. So the 4th of July is safe. It will not be that weekend.
Great.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
Couple things, though, too. I mean, you got to make sure you put this in the invitations. Do not wear, in July, Wrigley Field, do not wear any khaki-colored shorts because you'll sweat right through them.
That really has you scarred, doesn't it?
Yeah, scarred for life. It wasn't even just my buddies that were mocking me. It was the entire section of people that I was sitting in. The worst swash you've ever seen in your entire life. Looked like I went down a water slide. And also, too, Chicago is the scene of my initial rookie party. Where I woke up in some lady's bed with just my dress socks on, little Sarah McLachlan playing.
And you did that just so you could tell the story the next day, didn't you?
I don't even remember.
Some
to be
lady's bed, by the way.
Yeah, it was some older lady's bed. I had my dress socks on. That was it. And it was all I remember of the morning was I wake up and I was like, "Where am I?" And I hear, "Come to my window."
Hang on a moment now. You say older. How old are we talking?
She was probably, I mean, at that time, that was my first year, so I was...
So you're how old?
19, probably.
So older, we're talking 30s?
Yeah, somewhere mid to late 30s, yeah.
Mid to late 30s.
Maybe breakfast, though, which was nice.
She made you breakfast.
She made me breakfast.
Yeah.
Uh huh. While you listen to Sarah McLachlan, she's got breakfast going.
Yeah. Oh, Rick. Just my dress sucks. I must have been good. I don't know. To get breakfast in the morning, I must have been. I must have been pretty good.
I would imagine that you were.
I don't remember much of it though. All I remember is that night. So I was the only rookie. We went to this really nice Italian restaurant. They all order everything on the menu.
That's you remember expensive. Meeting her? Do you even remember meeting this woman?
No. I don't remember anything. And then as their food's coming out, everyone's getting all these delicious meals. We got the wine flowing and everything else. I get a Subway sub.
No, stop it.
Yeah, they brought me in a Subway sub.
You were all class at 19, huh?
Well, no, that's what they brought me in, like as a joke, as like a rookie prank.
Oh, it's not that you ordered that. That's what they made you have. Oh, that's terrific.
No, everyone's got like these beautiful meals, and I had ordered something, that's and then funny. All of a sudden I'm like, I'm the last one to get my food. And I'm like, where the hell's my food? Because at this point, I'm like, I need something to eat. And all of a sudden, a delicious BMT shows up at the table.
Oh, yeah. They're bad guys. They're bad guys for that.
You never heard that, Chris?
Yeah, I can't believe that, Dave. Like, I mean, you're paying for that expensive meal. I mean, we're talking about five figures, and this guy's going to eat a BLT? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, listen, at that point, I mean, anything I ate would have been fine. But, I mean, it was a veteran team. I actually had two rookie parties the same year. I had that rookie party in Chicago with the Wolves, and then when I got called up, I had my NHL rookie party the same year in Dallas. That was the one where I got in trouble from drinking the wine out of the bottle.
The did you wake up with an older woman after that one, too?
No, I did not. No,
no younger
luckily.
Woman? No woman?
I don't care to comment on that situation.
Oh! Hello! All right.
Dallas is a very nice city.
How about a... you want to tell us?
I don't think. Well, the 5 o'clock hour. I mean, this would be the time. To
if there were going
stories.
To be a time where you could tell us, now would in fact be the time. Santi, give us the music.
No, don't give us the music.
Yeah, tell us about the rookie party.
I don't know. I can't really get. I mean, that graphic with the rookie party. I mean, it was a terrific rookie party. Got in trouble drinking the you know a really expensive bottle of wine directly out of the bottle.
Got in trouble from who?
The sommelier, the wine person, came in with this really. I mean, everyone was ordering expensive bottles of wine, and there was one sitting on the table that was. Extremely expensive, and I decided, you know what? Who needs a glass? Let's just drink this one right out of the bottle.
Right out of the bottle.
And then things ramped up after that.
And then
that
you woke up with a younger woman.
I can't confirm or deny that.
Santi, give me the music. Tell us a little bit.
I can't tell you. I mean, there's really nothing I can tell you on the radio. I mean, my
you can't give
details.
Us nothing? You can't well, sex us the PG-13 version of this?
There's no. Is there really a PG-13 version
know.
Of this?
I don't know.
I don't believe there is. You would lose respect. You would lose respect for me if there was.
So there's nothing you can tell us.
It was a terrific night.
Okay.
You sound sexy.
I was sexy.
Of course.
It's not like you to plead the fifth, Rico.
I know.
I got some sexy undies.
I mean, you can't wait to tell it.
I'm trying to keep the job. Is what I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to do is keep the job right now. Because you want to get me down that road. It's not going to be good for any of us.
All right. Let's turn out. You should be stuffed, honestly.
Who's going to stuff me?
Is that what happened? You should be stuffed, honestly.
Who's going to stuff me?
A wonderful night.
Wow.
Interesting question.
A wonderful night was the Knicks last night. What a treat. I mean, what a Julius Randle. You got R.J. Barrett. Yeah, you have Washington.
Mitchell Robinson.
Mitchell Robinson. I mean, just quickly hitting three after three. I mean, Washington is they're a disaster. But what a great performance from the Knicks. Washington is so bad defensively, Chris, that they made the Knicks offense look like the 85 Lakers.
Yeah, but the Knicks came out there with something on their mind last night, Dave. I mean, they had a 39.4. First quarter, and with Julius Randle, I mean, if $15,000 in a fine from complaining about the refs is going to get him going like he was last night, then all of his teammates need to make sure that they put some money on that fine, because that dude was phenomenal, tying a career high with three-pointers. But the one thing that I will say that I enjoy and appreciate about watching this Knicks team throughout the course of this season is the fact that every time they have a loss or they have heartbreak and there's an opportunity for a letdown game, you always see them bounce back and give the effort and beat the teams that they're supposed to beat. Like, I can't tell you how hard that is not to let human nature set in, not to feel sorry for yourself, but to go out there with the effort that we saw them play with last night on both ends of the court. Like, they thoroughly dominated the Washington Wizards. So that was the most impressive thing about last night's game. It wasn't Julius Randle. It wasn't R.J. Barrett. It wasn't the six Knicks in double figures. It wasn't even Mitchell Robinson. It was the fact that this team didn't have a letdown when last night's game was one of those situations where there was an opportunity for one.
You know what my biggest takeaway from last night's game was, and I know people get sick and tired of us saying it, and we've been saying it about the Knicks, we've been saying it about the Jets, we've been saying it about the Giants, but you know the importance of coaching, the importance of culture. I mean, last night, I mean, that New York Knicks team, talent-wise, isn't as talented as the Wizards.
In fact, it's funny you say that because I'm watching Washington. I'm thinking to myself, you know, early on when Washington takes that, like, you know, 5-7 point lead, I'm like, oh, God, this is going to be one of those nights because they are more talented than the Knicks are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they don't play nearly as hard. I mean, defensively, they're horrendous.
They don't care. It's obvious watching that team. They do not care.
Yeah, I don't know why Bradley Beal wants to be a part of this team. I mean, they do not. I mean, there's no fight at all with this team.
I mean, defensively, they are. It's horrible to watch.
It's night and day. I mean, watching those two teams is night and day. I mean, you see how the Knicks compete on the defensive side of the ball. How hard they make it on. How hard they made it on Brad Beal and Russell Westbrook.
Yep.
To get going in that game. But I mean, when you talk about a Knicks team, this is what makes them. I mean, this is why I would be so happy to see them in a legitimate playoff series is because the Knicks are one of those teams that for a good team, they're a pain in the ass to play.
They are. Yeah. Get me in. Just get me in. And you know what? They are right there. When you look at the standings, what are they, half a game out of fourth place right now?
Yep.
They are right there. And we are not early on in the season anymore. I'll say it. This is a really fun team to watch. They are relevant. They are exciting. Last night, you can't say the best win of the season, but it was easy. I mean, they are now winning games easily. And
well,
you
it's
said
a must-win game.
Must-win. I mean, it depends.
Well,
on
no, but these games. In all honesty, though,
it's an important game. I would agree with that. And the next one up against Washington on Thursday as well is an important game. But Chris, you hit the nail on the head, at least for me, and that is they win almost every single game that they should win, right? I mean, the Philly losses are painful. They stink. We're upset the next day. But Orlando, win. Oklahoma City, win. Washington, win. If that's just your MO, if you compete and play as hard as you can and you're close and win some of the games against the good teams and you win most of the games against the bad teams, you're going to wind up with a pretty good season.
I mean, this team puts together workmanlike performances pretty much every single night, Dave. I mean, that's the thing that you can say is a good characteristic for a team like this to have, especially in the infancy stages of program building. But I guess we shouldn't be surprised the fact that they go about their business that way because that's the kind of head coach they have. And for Tibbs, this is his dream job, so he was going to give it his best shot. And the fact that you see him getting the most out of the talent that he has, I think that bodes well for the Knicks moving forward. But in last night's game, I mean, to be able to see what you saw from Mitchell Robinson and to get Reggie Bullock going early in that game with those back-to-back threes at the end of the first quarter, like, to me, that was kind of setting the tone for how things were going to go. And then Julius Randle with the third quarter that he had. Oof. I mean, there was a sequence where he hit three straight threes, Dave. I mean, Julius Randle is an all-star caliber player. We had that caller yesterday call in and saying that Julius Randle is overrated. I'm like, I don't understand how you can make that claim. I mean, the guy is a walking bucket, especially if the Wizards were going to give him one-on-one coverage all night. I mean, he was giving Rui Hachimura the business. I mean, so the fact that you do have a guy that you feel like is a building block piece, I just feel like the direction is pointed up for this Knicks team. I mean, you got to love the trajectory of this squad if you're a fan.
Yeah, I don't know how you couldn't. I mean, you mentioned the third quarter. I mean, Randle dropped 16 points in the third quarter. I mean, the way he's been able to improve his three-point shooting, I mean, that's a credit to all the work he put in. But, I mean, I have a hard time. Like, just watching Tibbs coach a game in the sense of urgency, especially in a game like this where I know I say must win, and, again, I don't mean, like, this is a do-or-die game where you must win this game, but a team like Washington, like, you got to take advantage of these games.
Yes, I agree with that. And you got to do the same thing on Thursday. I mean, you have to. Washington's awful. And if I showed you the rosters and said, what should the spread be on this game, you would think Washington should beat the Knicks 7 or 8 out of every 10 times. Washington is so much more talented on paper than the Knicks. And the fact that they go out and win this game and convincingly and it's over at the half is a testament to what they're building right now.
I mean, they don't compete like the Knicks compete.
No.
But here's the point I'm making, is that we have the deadline tomorrow afternoon. Mm. Watching Tibbs coach that game last night, I mean, the Knicks are rolling. And, you know, he's trying to, Julius Randle did not want to come back in that game. You saw it. Like, even he had his 37, he was good. It was time to let, you know, Obi go in and play. You know, all of a sudden, Tibbs is like, no, this, I don't like where this thing is headed. Let's go, Julius Randle, you're back in. And you saw Julius Randle grab Obi and say, you got to be aggressive. You got to be aggressive. Like, I have a hard time believing the New York Knicks aren't going to make a move by tomorrow.
Yeah.
To improve this team.
Yeah, I feel like they have to make a move, too. I mean, you owe it to the guys in that locker room to make a move because you do need more punch offensively, preferably somebody that's in the backcourt. But I just don't want them to sacrifice, you know, future assets, assets that could be of significance in order to bring back a piece that's going to help this year, just because I don't think that it's going to ultimately affect the upside of this team. Like, I just want the Knicks to be a playoff team, to get into a real series in the first round, but I don't expect them to go much further than that. But I do feel like you owe it to the guys in that locker room based on what they've done in order to give them the best chance to realize their full potential this season.
As long as it's a positive move for the current and for the future, I think we would all absolutely be on board with a move like that.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. DCR.
I'm knee-deep in wedding planning right now, too. I think we got the venue nailed down. We got a ballpark for the day, but we got to decide between wedding planners. It's going down in a real way. It's crazy. We are doing a road game wedding, guys. She's from Chicago.
Chicago is the scene of my initial rookie party, where I woke up in some lady's bed with just my dress socks on.
This is DCR.
Maybe breakfast, though. I must have been pretty good.
I would imagine that you were.
I don't remember much of it, though.
On 98.7 ESPN. Yeah.
Remix. All right, the second hour, the 6 o'clock hour, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. I like how you like in your live read, you get to the point of you're winning our bracket challenge right here. Like, you don't bring it up during the course of the show, but when you have your own time and you're doing a live read for your betting parlor, then you get it in there.
Well, I had to save it. I mean, it tells me in the actual read to freelance.
Just to freelance and get your
to throw that in there as the freelance,
right?
Though, right?
Well, I mean, there's nothing we can do.
No,
you brought it up.
Jump them.
Yeah, but you brought it up. I mean, it was your commentary on the email that pointed it out.
Well,
I'm supposed to ignore that.
That's true. I mean, I'm nothing if not honest. You guys are always bothered by the honesty, but you're leading right now. You have 35 points. RJ is tied with you, but he took Iowa, which was just a criminal selection. He has 35. You joined twice. Your other pick is right behind there with 34 points. I have 32 points, so I'm not that far off, by the way. Although I do have Illinois winning the whole thing, which could become an issue at some point.
You don't have to bring up my point total, Dave. You don't have to do that. We don't have to go there. Dave Rothenberg, be a good teammate now.
Okay.
We don't have to go there.
Can I say you're behind us?
Well, I think people already assume that because you said Rick's, you said yours. I mean, the only person that's left is me. I don't think you have to say I'm behind you. I think folks have already put that together.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Don't be a bad guy, Dave. Don't try to hang on the rim with this, okay?
I'm not going to. Right. And of Thank course, you. Santiago is between me and you as well. So at the moment, last place. But that could change. You took Gonzaga, so you can make up some ground.
What a bad
guy. Who, can't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, it's, come on.
Yeah.
Stop yourself.
What?
He's well behind.
He's well behind.
Well behind.
I don't think he can actually pass you at this point.
No, I don't believe he can. Which is good. I mean, this is, again, you guys mock me. You criticize me for my process. And this is ultimately what happens.
Well, hang on a second. I mean, you make it sound like this is over. If Gonzaga doesn't win, you're not necessarily going to win our pool.
No, I don't think I'm going to win the pool either. I mean, I'm hoping.
I mean, of us. If Gonzaga doesn't win, there's a good chance that I run right past you here with our picks.
Oh, we'll see what happens. But for now,
you are tied with RJ,
yes,
correct?
Exactly right. I'm gonna take this to the Knicks. I'm gonna take this opportunity to feel good about myself. And
take
celebrate.
This opportunity, and we'll see if it crumbles at some point down the road.
I hope it does.
Of course, I hope it does. What? Why would I want you to beat me in the bracket challenge?
You wouldn't, but I think it's what's gonna happen. Just like I beat you in the NFL picks. It's what it is. You have your trivia stuff, and then as far as the stuff that takes actual, you know, skill and research.
Wait, hang on a second. Skill and research does not get thrown into the Stump Rothenberg
segment?
It's
memorization. All you do is memorize stuff.
Stop it. Stop it. Memorization.
It's like a hidden talent that you have.
It's unbelievable.
You don't put, I mean, it's like you don't study for this stuff. You just know it.
I do study. I used to study where guys went to college and little trivia tidbits. I did.
I would rather have not known that you actually studied this stuff.
Well, right? Why? Why not? That I'm dedicated to my craft? That I care about my sports knowledge? That I studied? Why is that a bad thing?
Does that make you a lesser sports talk host if you don't know where guys went to college?
I don't think it makes you lesser, but I like having the knowledge. I like having the information. What do they say? Information is power. Knowledge is power. I got it, baby.
Early risers.
So you're just wielding.
We'll get work.
So you're just wielding all this power because you know where Jamison Crowder went to college?
Duke.
Okay. See?
Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Have you seen the new mock draft of one Mel Kiper, by the way, guys?
I have, Dave. I have.
And what of that mock draft moved the needle for you? He had the Jets going quarterback at 2, didn't he?
He did. He did. But he also had Justin Fields coming off the board at 3 and then Trey Lance coming off at 4. So you're talking about the first 4 picks of the NFL draft being quarterbacks, which is unprecedented. We've never seen anything like it.
Have we seen 3 in a row?
3 quarterbacks in a row?
Not that I can remember.
I don't remember that either. So yeah. I think we're going to – I mean, we could see 4 and 4, which is, I mean, unbelievable, huh?
Yeah, that would be crazy.
But I guess that would –
where the position is.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you on that one, Rico. I think it just speaks to where today's NFL is, but I think it's interesting with what's happening at 3 if the Panthers are talking about trading up to get a quarterback, you know, because they were one of the teams that were in on the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. Now that seems like that's off the board with what he's got going on, maybe teams that were looking to try to get Watson from Houston are more aggressive about trying to move up in the draft.
Yeah,
and maybe that could make things a little
that.
And maybe that could make things a little more interesting for what the Jets do at number 2.
So he has the Jets taking Zach Wilson at 2. Let me run through a little bit of the draft, and then we'll hear from Mel Kiper in a second. Wilson at 2 for the Jets. Like you mentioned, Chris, Carolina moves up to the 3 spot with Miami and takes Justin Fields out of Ohio State. He has the Falcons taking Trey Lance. Run through up to the Giants. Then Cincinnati, if Cincinnati takes a tight end over an offensive lineman, I give up. But he has him taking Kyle Pitts out of Florida, the tight end. Eagles taking the best receiver on the board. That would be Ja'Marr Chase. Lions taking Devonta Smith. Dolphins then taking Jalen Waddle after moving back in the first round. Penei Sewell, he has going 9 to the Vikings, which seems wild to me. Patrick Surtain, 10 to the Cowboys. And the Giants taking Kwity Paye. So that's your top 11, Rick, of the Mel Kiper draft.
How would you feel about the Giants at 11? That pick.
I'd feel I told you, this, and I mean this sincerely, there's very little that they could do at 11, which draft night I would be very unhappy with. If you take what you deem to be the best edge rusher in the draft, I would feel fine about that, no?
No, you're right. I mean, Dave Gettleman has set himself up where he can make that decision. He's not forced to decide he wants to reach for a certain position to try to fill a need. But I would have a hard time believing that if Slater's sitting there at 11, I have a hard time not pulling the trigger on that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Rico. An offensive lineman that can play tackle, but also the other 4 positions. I mean, that's just, to me, an offensive lineman that has that kind of versatility, that type of athleticism. I mean, the guy ran a 4.8 at 300-plus pounds. Like, I mean, to be able to insert that into your starting offensive line, like, I just feel like, again, that solidifies a group that was one of the worst when it came to just straight drop-back pass protection. So I just feel like when Daniel Jones and how important this year is for him, eliminating all the excuses as to why he couldn't be a productive player is of the utmost importance for Dave Gettleman.
But you wouldn't be upset, right, if the Giants did go with Paye or they went with Rousseau? You wouldn't say, oh, God, I can't believe they did that at 11, would you?
I wouldn't be upset if they went with Rousseau. I'm not sold on Kwity Paye, Dave. I mean, I know they say he gets around the quarterback an awful lot, but in 4 years at Michigan, he's got 11 and a half sacks. I mean, at some point, I'm going to need the guy to
get there, huh?
Get the quarterback on the ground. Rousseau had 15 and a half sacks in 2019. I think that was his sophomore year.
Mm-hmm. So he
didn't play last year. So, I mean, the fact that you're talking about that much of a difference in production, not to mention that Rousseau is 6'7", 260, I just feel like there's a lot more upside when it comes to the player. But I don't have an issue with them addressing the position, like edge rusher, offensive line, cornerback. I think those are the three positions that Dave Gettleman should lock in on, and we'll see who's left on the board when their pick comes up. But to me, that's where the Giants need to focus.
Let's take a listen. Here is Mel Kiper. He was on with Greeny yesterday. He was all over the place. These cuts are from Greeny's show yesterday, 10 to 12 here on 98.7 ESPN. If Darnold were in this coming draft, he would still go number two.
The Jets would be taking him number two overall. Okay, that's the bottom line, Greeny. He's 23 years old. You know he's the same age as Kyle Trask, quarterback out of Florida,
right,
who's going to be maybe a third-round pick in this draft, maybe a two, but I think more of a third-rounder. If you say Sam Darnold is their best option, and I almost projected a trade there. I did it before, but yeah, people say, well, they're going to take Wilson. I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to take Wilson. They're going to trade the pick. If you can trade that pick and move down and get Kyle Pitts or a receiver, that's the best move. If you take Zach Wilson, and you're not getting Kyle Pitts, Devontae Smith, Jamar Chase, or Jalen Waddle. And to me, you're a better football team with Sam Darnold in one of those four entities to help out your situation, to add to the personnel you've already bought in via free agency, to add to the personnel that you're going to bring in via the draft. So to me, Sam Darnold is getting knocked and people discard him like he's no big deal. He is. He's 23 years of age. He's played through adversity. He's dealt with everything you could deal with.
I think he's right. With some of the things he says, I think if you're the Jets and you take, you know, Pitts or Jamar Chase or move down and acquire future picks, you do make your team better in the present. I just don't know that you have the better quarterback in the future if you stay with Darnold and don't take one of these young quarterbacks.
Yeah, but that's all dependent on if Sam Darnold can play or not. I mean, in theory, yeah, that makes sense. And that's something that I've said from the beginning, is that would be the conversation that would continue to pick up steam. Is because people are infatuated with trading down, acquiring more assets, and making more picks. But I mean, you can have as much talent as you want. If your quarterback isn't good, what good is that?
Yeah,
that's nothing for you.
No, it doesn't do anything for you. And when I hear Mel Kiper make that statement about what the Jets should do, it sounds like somebody that's not at risk of losing their job if Sam Darnold turns out not to be your quarterback. Because I mean, that's what this whole thing hinges on. Like, if Sam Darnold can't play, then where are the Jets in terms of finding their future franchise quarterback? I mean, if they don't do it this offseason, when is it going to happen? I mean, we're talking about four quarterbacks potentially coming off the board in the first five picks.
And so, you've got the second pick. Anybody you want outside of Trevor Lawrence.
And you've got the second pick, Dave. So, I mean, it's hard to believe that they couldn't find a guy that they like in that range. Like, I don't see that as being a realistic scenario. So, I mean, if you have the chance to get one of those guys, and everybody in the building isn't sold on Sam Darnold, to me, it's a no-brainer decision. I don't care what teams are willing to offer you to move up to two. It doesn't matter, because guess what? All of those picks, all of those players that you draft, if you don't have a quarterback, they don't matter. They don't. It's a quarterback-driven league.
Now, here's what I would say. Do you believe, both of you, that one of the other quarterbacks not named Trevor Lawrence will be a star in this league? Okay. So if that's your belief, then your job as Joe Douglas, find that guy, draft that guy, and move forward with that guy.
Yeah, but that's what scares you to death.
Yeah, sure.
Is that you got to make sure, like, I feel like with where the Jets are at now, if they do draft a quarterback, you'll be putting that quarterback in a situation to have success as opposed to what they did to Sam. But, I mean, if you do decide you want to keep Sam and you trade back, you get a bunch more draft picks and everything else, and it turns out that Sam can't play, and now you're looking for a quarterback.
And now you're screwed.
Well, here's what's going to happen is that, I mean, depending on where you pick, and I don't think next year's quarterback draft is nearly as good as this year's quarterback draft. You may have to trade up, which means you're going to have to give up some of the picks that you just acquired the year before to get the quarterback that you want,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to have to trade those draft picks to get potentially a Russell Wilson or, I mean, depending on what happens with Deshaun Watson. Like, you'd have to address the quarterback position that way. So either way you slice it, it's going to it's going to cost you picks to address the, unless Sam can play.
Unless Sam is the answer.
Which will only cost you money eventually.
Let me ask you this question, Rico. What scares you more? Because you're talking about how scary this decision is for Joe Douglas, picking between the quarterbacks that would be left on the board at two. Does it scare you more making that choice, trying to parse through these prospects? Or does it scare you more to run it back with Sam Darnold and trade out of two?
I think it would make me more nervous to run it back with Sam. Just because I think that Sam could use a change of scenery. I think it's in his best interest to move on to a different team. because the amount of pressure that he's going to be under next year is going to be through the roof. If you pass, I mean, could you imagine if you trade back, whoever you trade with takes, I don't care who it is, Zach Wilson or Justin Fields, they start, and then the first 3 weeks of the season, the quarterback, that kid looks like the next coming, and you're 0-3.
You're crushed. you're crushed. And this is the defining moment for Joe Douglas. I mean, really, you could argue that for what he's done and what he will do, he will never have a bigger moment with the Jets than he will on April 29th and leading up to that. Never.
But how many times, like, what drives me crazy, though, is you'll hear some people say, well, you got to do what the Colts did. And they traded back with the Jets, and they got Quentin Nelson, and they got, you know, Darius Leonard. That's because they had Andrew Luck as their quarterback.
Right. Mm-hmm. They could afford to do that.
We all knew what Andrew Luck was. We still have no idea what Sam is going to be.
No idea. All right.
And Mel keeps going back to his grade he had on him 3 years ago.
3 years ago. But he said 3 years of wear and tear. It's like saying, yeah, I would spend this on the car before you've driven it off the lot. The car's been driven for 3 years. It's not the same car that it was 3 years ago. I've seen the car. I know I don't love the car.
The car's always in the shop. It doesn't stay
always
on the
shop. That's right. The mechanic has very first-hand knowledge of the car.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Let's hear from Corey Davis. What he said yesterday about the quarterback situation, he has the understanding it's going to be Sam Darnold.
With my understanding that, you know, is the guy, and that doesn't scare me away at all. You know, I've seen Sam do great things, and, you know, I have all the belief in him, and, you know, whichever direction they decide to go, it's on me to make sure that I'm ready and control what I control. So come in and ready to catch from whoever.
So that wasn't the soundbite I thought it was going to be. There's one yesterday where he said, my understanding is it's going to be
Sam
Darnold.
He said that.
Well, that one he made
it sound
like he said whatever they decide to do.
No, he said, my understanding is it's going to be Sam. And then he spoke out of both sides of his mouth.
Yeah. So he kind of pointed at Sam, and then he said, I don't know what they're going to decide to do.
But I'll be fine either way.
Whoever
throws me the football, I will catch it.
As long as that check clears, we good. That's essentially what it is, right?
That's what he said, yeah.
As long as they're paying me, I'm good with whoever's throwing me the ball.
That's right. They've given me an astronomical amount of money, and I'm going to catch passes from Zach Wilson or Fields or Lance or Sam or whoever, in fact, it's going to be. Let's go to Matt in Queens. Good morning, Matt. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. How you doing? Listen, when it comes to these quarterbacks, we all know the history. It's impossible to know if any of these college guys are going to be good or if Sam is going to be good. But if Salah and LaFleur are all they're cracked up to be, I think you're going to have a good quarterback either way. So to me, the quarterback decision comes down to two things. One, the money. That's an important thing. And number two, how you're evaluating these other players. Because let's say you're looking at these other players that you could possibly get, and you want to get as many of them as they can because you think they're going to be fantastic players, then you trade out of Sam. If you're looking at these other players and you're saying, well, if we keep Sam, we can still get a lot of good guys, then you keep them. Because, and even what you said about the pressure of playing in New York, it's going to be the same thing for the new guy that comes in.
I disagree with that. Yeah, it won't be the same pressure just because with the new guy, the Jets fans would not have seen three seasons of him failing prior to when he takes the field this fall.
A longer leash.
Exactly. I mean, they'll be more patient when it comes to a young quarterback. When it comes to Sam Darnold, time's up. Like, I mean, you would have essentially passed on the opportunity to take Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, and go with Sam Darnold after you've seen how much he's turned the football over in his first three seasons. Like, there is not going to be a benefit of the doubt if Sam Darnold ends up being the quarterback in week one this upcoming year. So it's a completely different type of pressure. And quite frankly, it should be because the expectations are different as opposed to if you had a rookie quarterback.
That's right. There should be growing pains for a rookie quarterback. At this point, year four, you should be fully functional if you're Sam Darnold.
Yeah, but again, I mean, with any of these decisions, because you don't, I mean, you could say, okay, we'll trade back and we'll get these picks. It's still like, we still don't know who those players are going to be, right? Like, that's still going to be a crapshoot to wherever the picks are at.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whoever you end up getting. Like, everyone always goes back to that Indianapolis Colts trade with of course it was the Jets, and the players that they picked. Yeah, it was great. I mean, they got Quentin Nelson, they got Darius Leonard, that's all great stuff. But again, they have the luxury of making that decision because they already had the quarterback position figured out.
If the Jets had the quarterback and you had no fear, and they wanted to trade back to wherever and stockpile picks, I don't think anybody would have a problem with that.
But that's of course what you do. But I mean, here, worst case scenario for the Jets is that you do keep Sam, and now all of a sudden he can't play. He has another bad season. Now what do you do with the position?
You're in huge trouble.
Well, yeah, because I mean, the whole point of keeping Sam was that you can trade back and you get more picks. Well, now if I don't have Sam, now all of a sudden I got to address the position. So how do I do that? If I'm not going to force it, because this draft is not good, the next year's draft's not going to be great with quarterbacks. So I would hope they don't force it just to take a quarterback. So now what's my option? Do I try to trade for Russell Wilson, which is going to cost you those draft picks, or you know, is next year when Deshaun Watson gets traded?
Yeah, we don't know.
Which is going to cost me draft picks.
That's right. So all the capital that you acquire now, you'll use then. Just use it now. Would be my point. Andrew and Manalapan. Andrew, you're next up on 98.7. Hello?
Andy. What's up? I just want to know what you guys think about the Jets not really addressing the tight end situation, the running back situation. You know what I mean? You don't think we could have used a guy like Henry or Smith or Rudolph or even a Marlon Mack or Jamal Williams? I mean, what are they doing here?
Like, Andrew, you're familiar with the thing coming up at the end of April, right? The draft, yes?
Right, but you can draft a rookie running back, but why not sign like a veteran guy like a Mack or a Williams? Because you don't know what these rookies are going to be.
Cheaper.
It's cheaper. Have you seen?
As far as skill set goes, running back is probably the easiest position to transition to in the NFL from college.
I mean, probably by the way, too, I mean, look where you're picking in the second round. You got the second pick in the second round.
Or how about the Seattle pick in the first round?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
So, have you seen what, I mean, look at the running back position in San Francisco. What they do with running back by committee.
That's right. And are any of those guys, I mean, Jeff Wilson Jr.,
Raheem Mostert,
yeah. Kevin Coleman. I mean, these are not guys that were
now,
high picks.
Now, I mean, if we're talking about Dave's favorite, Hunter Henry, I mean, that would have been something that I was interested in.
Hunter Henry is a good tight end. I'm being serious.
I'm just busting your chops because the year you told me to draft him was the year he got hurt.
So it's my fault that Hunter Henry got hurt.
Yeah, just like it was your fault to tell me when I asked you, I was leaning Wisconsin, and you said, no, I've watched quite a bit of North Carolina. You got to go North Carolina. Boom. Done.
I like the size of North Carolina.
You're a big size guy. I get it. But still, you said, I asked you the question, and you said North Carolina.
Have you seen my bracket?
Definitively, you said it.
I liked North Carolina. I thought they were going to win the game.
This is exactly why I'm not going to pay for this bracket challenge.
What? I'm not even going to start here with you.
Yeah, don't even touch that, Dave. Just move on from that.
I will not talk to you.
He's trying to set you up right there, kind of like he set me up with a T-shirt deal the other day. Don't fall for it, Dave.
How bad of a guy would he be, Chris? If he did not pay for the bracket challenge,
I'm not paying.
He would be a bad guy.
You're going to pay.
You sabotage me. I'm not paying.
I sabotage. No, I will go right to Cassie. I will go right around you, and you've committed. You've entered. Everyone has. I think almost everyone has paid except you. You're going. You will pay.
Dave, should we be talking about paying for the bracket challenge on air?
Why not?
Okay.
I mean, every ad we have is a gambling ad. So why?
Okay.
This is a fun little contest we're doing. You're gonna have to talk to Cassie anyway because I don't believe that I have Venmo or PayPal. Me personally,
I'm sure you don't.
I can send you a check if you'd like.
I'll get a gift card. We'll pay via the gift card for the bracket challenge. Guests on DCR appear via the Goodyear Hotline at DCR, presented by our good friends at Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com and, of course, do that today. Now, Chris, you are about to leave us to go partake in one KJZ. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't want to leave, Dave, but in a few minutes I got to go because I got to get ready to jump on with the guys. I'll be on with Bart Scott and Alan Hahn from 7 to 10.
So that's five consecutive hours of radio for you.
Yes. Yeah.
I hope you have a nap in your future at some point today.
Well, that's every day, Dave. I mean, I go home, get a workout in, and then I shut it down until early afternoon. Like, that's my routine. So I don't think there's going to be anything that changes about it. It's just I'm doing a couple extra hours of radio today.
All right. So good luck to you, although you probably don't need it. You'll be
Pirate strike again, Dave.
What happened now?
The Pirate strike again.
Oh, they swept in and took our guy.
Yeah, now they steal our co-hosts. They steal them.
Doesn't matter that they're doing a different show, right? It's just because it's those two guys?
Yeah, that's who they are.
That's right. It doesn't matter what show they're doing. At some point, they were going to swoop in and take you, and this is what they decided to do.
Two clown pirates.
Yeah. That was Don. That was not, in fact, us. All right. Rick, you have your question loaded, ready to go?
I do.
People are lined up. Let's go with the calls. 800-919-3776. We say goodbye to Chris and have great success on KJZ this morning from 7 to 10. You can watch it on TV and listen to it from 8 to 10 here on 98.7 ESPN. Let's go, Stump Rothenberg.
He's confident.
I have so much knowledge.
He's arrogant.
I'm a big star, you know.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You don't think I'm smart?
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
All right, let's go. 800-919-3776. Have you heard the guy on the weekends, Rick, that calls and says, I just want to thank Andrew M. Cohen for sponsoring this sensational segment. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
It's not embarrassing.
The whole thing is embarrassing. That hockey show is embarrassing. The whole thing is it's too much.
Everything I do apparently is embarrassing. But the calls are lined up for Stump Rothenberg, 800-919-3776. Let's start out with what we do, and that is Andy in Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. What's up, Drive Time?
He's very, very difficult this morning, Andy, to be honest with you.
The Islanders are in first place. There's no difficulty to be had.
Dave doesn't even know that, though. That's the point, Andy. Dave has no idea. Dave doesn't know how Sorokin's done in the past. Dave has no idea. He's got the hockey show.
You know what I know? I know Sorokin is on the verge of taking over that starting goalie spot. I know that Matt Barry said Bolivia scored the game-winning goal in overtime the other night against the Flyers. I got it all on lockdown. Don't you worry about my Islanders' knowledge.
Well, that transitions perfectly into my question. Because the main four goalies here in New York, Rangers, Islanders, are all of Russian descent.
All right.
David, can you tell us, what Russian goalie has played the most games in the NHL?
Rick, you probably know this, don't you?
Yeah, of course I know this. You don't, and you. I mean, this is why I should have the hockey show and not you, because you're going to embarrass yourself right now.
Well, you think I'll embarrass myself? I would say it's either Hobby Bulin. I would say Bobrovsky is probably up there. So you know it, like you definitively know it.
Yeah, I definitively know it.
I'm going to say one Nikolai Hobby Bulin.
And I would say you are correct, sir. Stay healthy, boys.
Embarrass myself.
That is correct.
Wowed you, is what I did.
Oh, God, I felt good. Yeah.
All right. Embarrass myself. How dare you? 800-919-3776. Where are you going this morning, DiPietro?
I'm going NBA, buddy. Topical NBA question. Okay. I was going to go tournament, but I didn't want to bring that up because, you know, I'm beating you in the tournament bracket. I didn't want to bring that up.
Hurt
your feelings during your segment. I thought this was interesting, and this is one of those questions where I'm asking it because I think people appreciate that they know the answer now.
Okay.
Who holds the record for most points scored in an NBA playoff game? And I want to know how many points it is.
Now, I would say, I think Bird scored a ton in one game. Jordan, of course, had the 63. Now, Elgin Baylor, who sadly just left us, I know scored in the 60s. I wonder if it was a Sunday afternoon, Boston Gardens, when Michael scored 63. I'm going to go with that. Michael Jordan, Bulls against the Celtics, 63 points.
All right, here's the issue I'm having right now.
Uh-oh.
Because you say Jordan 63. I'm sitting here looking at the actual stat, and it says most points scored in a playoff game is Elgin Baylor 61.
But Jordan scored 63.
Which would in 1986, you're right. Which would make you correct.
So you wanted to say Elgin Baylor,
I'm saying the computer is incorrect.
So I am outdueling your computer right now is what you're saying.
Yeah, if you go to the, like, what's that, Santi? Oh, see, that game had overtimes. What, your game had overtimes.
What? You didn't? I don't understand. So what?
Oh, so you win. You're correct.
Okay.
The ceiling is the roof.
But just as far as a regulation game is concerned.
But you didn't ask that question.
Well, I know. It's my fault because it didn't. I mean, that's not. So the 61 is a regulation game. Jordan has the 63.
63
but you're talking
points.
About.
In a game they lost, by the way. But
double
Jordan
overtime.
63.
So you got both. I mean, you got both questions right, actually.
Okay. Well, we'll take it. Let's go to Sal.
That is correct.
Right. Sounder. Sal in Wingdale. Sal, good morning.
Good morning, guys. By the way, he was right about the 61 because they just said it on one of the talk shows.
I never ESPN argued that Elgin Baylor scored 61. I knew Elgin Baylor scored in the 60.
Right, but that's what
Thank
he
you,
said.
Sal.
Okay, no problem. Anyway,
I don't understand
we got
how Rick is the victim in this question.
No. I'm just saying that's what they kept saying, that Elgin Baylor scored six. He was the only one that scored 61 points. That's my only thing. But you're right about the 63 in overtime. And, all right, we got Florida State still going, Dave. I got him winning the whole thing. I don't know about you.
I got him to the finals. I need him to the finals to overtake.
Okay, well, they're going to beat Michigan.
I hope.
Do you mind a baseball? Baseball question, a movie question this morning.
Go ahead.
Has to do with the League of Their Own.
Oh, I like that movie.
You like that? Okay. In the movie, Madonna, which was May Menevito, what was her uniform number? I know Ty tells me you don't like numbers, but I just want to know, you know.
I mean, this is
most of the numbers you got. Like Forrest Gump, you got his number, so I figured let me throw this one out at you.
Dave is the Forrest Gump of Sports Talk Radio.
I don't know that we're going to have the knowledge of what number Madonna's.
It was her uniform number. Think about her ethnic background.
And yes, it's 59.
No.
No, that was a drop. That wasn't.
Nobody guesses 98.
Her ethnic background. Rick, you
It's Rule 76!
You have no idea, right? Do you?
No, I don't know. I don't know the answer to this one.
I'm going to say that Madonna's character wore number 4.
Oh, you're close. The reason why I said ethnic background, it was because number 5, Joe DiMaggio, when she played center field.
Oh, all right.
There's no crying in baseball!
Okay. All right.
It's actually a good question. I actually kind of like that question now.
Really?
That he explained it.
A little far-fetched. Yeah, it is good knowledge to have now, though, right? When you watch that movie, you will think about that.
All right. The fruit of the sea.
Let's go to Joel in Poughkeepsie. Good morning, Joel. You're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, guys. Got a great question for you. Over the weekend, this NCAA wrestler won his third national title with no ACLs.
Edson Arantes de Nascimento. Is it Edson?
It is not.
All right, quick break. Jay Williams on the other side. Is it Jay Williams? The only one I know is Spencer Lee, so I'm going to go with that.
That's it!
Why are you playing that sound?
That is correct.
That's right. Give me some positivity. I actually saw him interviewed, and he didn't say. Did you see this, Rick? He didn't tell anybody that he hurt his ACL. And then after the match, he admitted that it was bothering him, and in fact, he does not have an ACL.
Yeah, I mean, he said, "Yeah, I have no ACLs." He said,
"Yeah." So
that's crazy.
That's pretty good job there by me.
That was last 2 weeks. That was the most impressive. I didn't think you had any chance to get that right.
Did you know that?
I knew that, yeah, just because I'd seen the same thing you saw, but I didn't think you would get that one.
I got knowledge. RJ, you want to take one more? Or do we want to wrap it here? 3-1.
Make it an even 5.
All right, let's go to Jim. But I hate ending on a losing note, so I have to get this right. Let's go to Jim in Queens. Jim, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Jim.
All right, Shawshank Redemption.
Okay.
The team that they played, the softball team, he was doing taxes for them. What is the name on their jersey?
Oh. God. You know this? I don't think I have any idea. I don't know. I have no idea.
I would have been impressed if you got this, Dave.
I don't know it. What's the answer?
The Marauders.
All right. Well, there you have it. I mean, do you see the depths that people have to go to
Yeah, that's too much. That was too much.
I mean, these are nearly impossible.
I'm surprised
questions.
You didn't go to Hawkeye though. Hawkeye's got you love the presidential questions.
I do, but his questions can be a little bit off the wall. Hawkeye, you want to go to Hawkeye?
Yeah, we got to redeem. I can't go on a losing note.
That was a terrible question. Oh, that's a brutal question. All right, Hawkeye, you're next. Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Hawkeye.
The last couple of times, Rick really liked my questions, so we'll see if I can earn the DiPietro seal of approval once again.
All right,
again.
We'll find out.
Okay, there have been many presidents who served in the military. But only one of them was never an officer. Who was it?
So he's in the military.
But not an officer.
So, I mean,
it's another tough question.
This is not a bad question, though. I'm thinking Buchanan. Because I think Kennedy was. Eisenhower was. I think... Oh, God. I'm overthinking it. I think it's Buchanan, but I'm not 100% sure. How do you feel about this?
Buchanan?
Yeah.
James, it's your initial Buchanan. Reaction. I would usually say with you, initially, whatever you think is right. So I would say if you like Buchanan, stick with Buchanan.
All right. I feel confident, but not overly confident in James Buchanan. That's right.
It was a private.
That is correct.
In the War of 1812.
Oh, God, I felt good. Buchanan.
And there we go. And that's the way you end, Stump Rothenberg.
Yeah,
that's
baby.
That's the way.
How that was good. That actually made me feel good.
Changes the entire complexion of the morning. All
like
right.
That kind of party.
We love that kind of party. That's a party. Woo. I got to tell you, the stress level of that segment is through the roof. Through the roof.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, Rick, I know you don't look at him as your favorite. He might be mine, but I adore Dan Graziano. You ready for a little conversation with Dan?
Yeah, I don't know why you have to say he's not my favorite. I mean,
well,
Dan was...
gone on the record of saying
no,
you like
false.
It, but he's not number one. But
that's
fine.
False.
Let's bring him in and find out how he feels about us. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I think I was behind. Was I behind Buster Olney in the rankings?
See, he knows the
last
rankings.
Last time when I talked to Rick?
Yeah,
I think
see?
So. I think you don't forget a thing like that, is all I'm saying.
It is very painful. I apologize for rehashing old memories.
Yeah.
Dan, I got to ask you, this Deshaun Watson story becomes...
Yeah.
More upsetting and more concerning, and the numbers continue to grow. And I mean, what does the NFL do? I guess they do a full investigation. Are we on hold now as far as a trade goes with the Texans and Deshaun Watson and moving on from him at this point?
Yeah, I think obviously you have to be. I mean, you look at the teams that would be interested in acquiring him, like how can you move forward right now, knowing as little as we know? And I think that's the way to look at it at this point. Now, you know, obviously what's going on is far more serious than football and who trades for a quarterback and all that. We obviously can't, we don't want to get in a position where we're ignoring that aspect of this. But in terms of the sports end of it, and if you were a team that was going to be pursuing Deshaun Watson, yes, everything is kind of on pause at this point because you really just don't know how any of this is going to turn out. And, you know, whether he's going to be suspended, whether he's going to, you know, play again. I mean, all kinds of stuff. So the league will do an investigation, yes. And, you know, it's hard to imagine that getting resolved between now and the draft, which is, I think, was a key date when we always looked at possibility of Deshaun Watson trades, when it might go down, et cetera. So, yeah, it's a very ugly and unfortunate situation on a number of important non-sports related levels. But, yeah, at this point, it's definitely one of the side effects is that, yes, it's having an effect on how you look at potential of trading for him.
Dan, in saying all that, so I mean, I would also believe it's hard to have something like this resolved by the draft. So, I mean, let's just assume for the sake of my question that Deshaun Watson is still dealing with this and doesn't get traded. I mean, how does that – I would imagine that the teams that were in on Deshaun Watson, like a team like maybe, you know, the Carolina Panthers, who seem interested, I mean, how much more incentivized are they now to all of a sudden make sure they get up in this year's draft to get the quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look specifically at the Carolina Panthers, who have made finding a franchise quarterback kind of a cornerstone of their offseason plan, you start to think about, okay, well, we're picking 8. Do we need to go up and get the quarterback we want? Can we expect that quarterback to be there at 8? Do we try and call the Seattle Seahawks and say, all right, look, you know, we know you don't want to trade Russell Wilson, but let's start talking about what it would look like if you did, right? Like that kind of stuff. You turn your attention that way. And I think that's what you'll see when you look at Carolina and what they do going forward here. But, I think the top of the draft is going to be fascinating in terms of who wants to jockey for that position and end up getting that quarterback. Right now we know the teams that are up there, and you know, we know the Jets are one of them. They're in a prime position. They can stay and take a quarterback, or they can, you know, trade the pick to a very interested batch of suitors at this point. So, yeah, I think that part of the draft is going to be fascinating to see what the teams that are quarterback-driven end up doing as a result of the top potential target potentially being off the board.
Dan Graziano with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So you mentioned the Jets, and listen, you're an insider, you're a knowledgeable guy, and you also have your opinion. So all that wrapped up into one, what do you think happens with the Jets 5 weeks from tomorrow at the draft?
I still think the most likely way they end up going is that they get a deal for Darnold somewhere, and they draft the quarterback at 2. Probably it sounds like Zach Wilson is sort of the apple of people's eye at that point in the draft. So specifically to the Jets, is he? You know, we will find out. But I think that at this point, while there's still a couple of different potential ways they could go, I think right now it sounds like they have a chance to get something for Darnold and possibly go ahead and draft the guy they would hope would be the quarterback of their future with that number 2 pick. But, you know, we're 5 weeks away, so it's still a number of different ways it could turn, obviously.
Dan, how surprised were you with how much money Kenny Galladay made?
A lot. I'm very surprised. I mean, it's just sort of out of step with the market, right? Like, what was the next biggest wide receiver number was Corey Davis with the Jets? Like 13? Was it roughly 13? So, yeah, I think what we're seeing with the Giants and Gettleman is, you know, they've decided they're going to be aggressive to get the guys they want. They had to sign Leonard Williams because of, you know, trading for him and franchising him last year and all that stuff. So that was sort of they were kind of over a barrel there with regard to what he was able to ask and get from them. That was one part of it. And then Galladay, they were determined to get a number one wide receiver. When you look at the receivers in this year's free agent market, he was kind of the guy that profiled as one the most closely, right? Like, is he that? Is he going to be that? Has he consistently been that? You can have that argument, but the Giants felt like he can be, especially for Daniel Jones. It's a guy that's very good at, you know, winning the contested ball, and I think as they move ahead with Daniel Jones and try and figure out exactly what they have there, they need somebody who can make him as good as possible, and I think they saw Kenny Galladay as that kind of player, so they went ahead and they stretched.
I think you can argue, Dan, that they overpaid for Galladay and Jackson.
Well, like, you say overpaid, I say stretched. Maybe I've had my coffee. I'm feeling pretty good. You were up very early. You know, it may just be a situation where it's a matter of perspective and how you want to phrase things. But yeah, I it's possible you could make that case that they overpaid. Sure.
My point was this, and my point is, I still like it. Like, granted, that maybe they paid more than those guys would have gotten elsewhere. They were needs for the Giants. And yes, they paid them a lot, but they're a better football team today because of it. Like, where do you think the Giants are as far as this rebuilding process? And I know that they've paid a lot for those guys, but do you like the Galladay and Jackson moves for them?
Yes, I think that they got good players that they like and that will help them be better. Yes, and you know what? It's not my money, so I mean, who am I to say whether, you know, whether they overpaid and how that ends up hurting them in the long term? I think big picture, when you look at Dave Gettleman as a general manager, I don't think finding the best bang for your buck is a big thing for him, right? Like, he drafts the running back at number two. He drafts the quarterback at six that maybe he could have waited on. Like, if he likes the player, he's going to get the player.
Uh-oh.
Right?
Did we lose Dan?
No, he's coming back. I feel like he's coming back.
You do? I don't know. I feel like we lost him.
I thought Gettleman cut for a second.
I think Gettleman cut the line, to be honest.
Yeah, he had one of his computer folk disconnected.
Yeah, the one computer guy, Dave called him. He's like, listen, I don't need you right now. Cut the line. He's talking bad about me. I don't like it.
But it's the best computer guy. They only got one, but he's the best.
He is so good. He's the best. He's the Bill Gates. The Bill Gates. Dan, are you back with us here? Gettleman cut your line for a minute, I think.
I think that's what happened. I was starting to say somehow Gettleman got in and cut it before I said something. Look, it's not back when I was covering baseball. I remember asking Dave Dombrowski, the GM of the Marlins, when I covered them, like about overpaying for a player. He's like, look, yeah, yes, it's more than we wanted to play, but now we have him, right? So now big picture, Dave Gettleman needs to win. This needs to be a team that starts to show improvement soon. Joe Judge just got there. Does he maybe see it as a more of a long-term build? Is there potentially, you know, sort of a discussion in the building about what the best way to go is? You know, this is what they've decided to do. You look at the Patriots, they sign a bunch of guys for kind of, you know, second tier prices, right? Whereas the Giants signed the high end guys for the high end prices. And then now it becomes incumbent upon them to draft well and to get productivity out of their recent drafts. And the problem the Giants have, big picture, is that they haven't done that, right? I mean, there have been a number of drafts for the Giants in recent years that just haven't borne fruit. And if that starts to change, then these free agency additions kind of augment what they have. And if it doesn't, then they end up doing this every couple of years, and they're stuck in this cycle.
Dan, I apologize for Dave being so rude. I would understand why you would hang up. But, I mean, you know how much Dave loves his New York Giants, and we've talked about this the last couple of days. He's also a part-time degenerate, so whatever Vegas says,
that's not Dave, true.
Dave gets really, you know, involved in. So Vegas has the Giants as the fourth best team behind the Eagles in the NFC East. With all the moves that they've made, where they're at, where would you, the expert, Dan Graziano, put the Giants in the landscape of the NFC East?
Well, I'll say this. If they have the longest price on them, they're probably worth a shot, right? Because it's the NFC East. Like, it's a throw of four teams in a hat and pick one every single year. We have no idea what's going to happen, right? So I would say you could look at the Giants with sort of a why not us mentality. I mean, they almost won it last year, right, with a 6-10 record. So the only thing we know for sure is Washington won't win it because they never have a back-to-back champion. So sorry about that, Washington. It looked like you have a nice team, but you have to wait till 22. But yeah, I think if Daniel Jones can play and can stay healthy and can show the improvement that he showed in the second half of last season in terms of the turnovers, and if you get Saquon Barkley back healthy, I think they could be as good as anybody in that division. Damning with faint praise, but yeah, I think they would be in the mix.
My guy. This is my guy, Dan Graziano, joining us here, 98.7 ESPN. I've heard people say that they're so excited about Ryan Fitzpatrick to Washington and you know, how he's such an upgraded quarterback. I guess he's an upgrade. I don't see it. Like, they took this giant step. I mean, he's never gone to the postseason. He gives you two games where you say you're wowed by him, and then he's horrendous. I mean, do you look at them as really having solved this quarterback problem? Is this a tremendous upgrade for them?
I think no, but I think, you know, Alex Smith, there's some apprehension about him, you know, keeping him healthy given everything he's gone through. So they felt like they went with a veteran who could do what they needed him to do. And he doesn't come with that level of concern. Well, price, by the way, Alex Smith's number was going to be huge this year. So you're right about Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, his career has shown itself to be inconsistent. And we've seen the highs and we've seen the lows. And the lows are very frightening. And they cost you games, right, because they're turnovers. So their defense is awesome. I mean, especially the front seven. And then they add William Jackson, who might have been the best cornerback on the free agent market. So their defense is exceptional and should keep them in games. In terms of the offense, yeah, I mean, a lot of it's going to come down to Fitzpatrick. And, you know, they make additions strategically on offense. They should have a good team. Like I said, the only reason I'm writing them off is because we haven't had a back-to-back champion in that division in 17 years. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I think these teams are always very close in terms of quality, or usually very close in terms of quality. And I think Washington's going to be a difficult team to play because of that defense. But, yeah, I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick as the savior at quarterback, I don't know. I got to see that to believe it over a full, by the way, 17-game season, not just 16.
Plus, you like picking at Greeny, who thinks that Washington is definitely going to win the division. Dan.
Well, he's all in on that.
All
in. I mean, like, he's gone really hard to that. Like, he's kind of, so I don't know. We'll see. I mean,
which is exactly why.
If they win it, we're going to hear about it. I know that for sure.
Well, and you know, I mean, the teams that Greeny picks usually don't win anyway. So that way, I mean, that's more reason why you don't pick the Washington football team.
That's right.
I'm picking the Jets. Yeah.
Dan, how much should we be reading into the fact that, you know, Aaron Rodgers' deal hasn't been restructured yet and they actually just had to pay him his 2021 roster bonus?
As much as you want, right? You could put anything you want in that in terms of speculation because, you know, the money and the cap decisions drive this whole league. And they could have saved more against the cap by restructuring Aaron Rodgers before they paid him that roster bonus than they can after. Now, they can still restructure the salary and get some cap relief, but it would have been more if they hadn't paid the bonus yet. So the fact that it's not done, as long as it's not done, right? I mean, I could do it today, but as long as it's not done, what we say about that situation accurately is that nothing has changed in terms of their ability to move on after this year. And if nothing changes with Aaron Rodgers' contract, they don't extend him, they don't guarantee more money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then we go into this year knowing about it exactly what we did a year ago, which is that if they want to, after this season, they could move on from Aaron Rodgers and play Jordan Love. Now, he just won MVP, and Jordan Love had a rookie season where he really didn't get to do much, right? There was no preseason for him to play in and show what he could do. And from what I'm told, Aaron Rodgers took literally every first-team snap in practice all year. So Jordan Love was splitting second-team reps and third-team reps with Tim Boyle, who was the backup. So Love may not be ready after this year, as they might have expected him to be when they drafted him, to no fault of his own. But they have that ability to go year to year at this point with Rodgers. I think, personally, that's what they want to do. But if we do see a restructure of the contract that makes it more difficult to move after this season, then you'll know that maybe that plan has changed.
All right, Dan. Beautiful stuff as always, and this is why you're in fact Rick's number two guest, because you always bring it at a very, very high level.
I can keep hoping that I'll move up someday. But you know what? These things drive you, and they make you better. You know, the motivation and staying hungry and all that. So I thank Rick for that, and I'll try and surpass Buster at some point.
And we thank you for all your hard work and efforts, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.